"Where are we now?" Esther asked Michael. "I guess we're somewhere near Liverpool, so that means either the docks or Wharton Jail." Esther could see her mother was very tired, and she shared a look of concern with her father. They all climbed out of the truck and were greeted with the sight of new buildings in the gloom. The area was floodlit, and it seemed they'd been dumped at an incomplete housing estate with some completed but many unfinished buildings. The roads hadn't been made up and were full of ruts and potholes. An enormous khaki tent stood at the end of the road where they assembled. Some of the buildings were terraced houses, others semi-detached, and there were numerous blocks of flats. Esther's family were taken to one of the blocks and shown to a flat on the first floor, where the only items in the room were four straw-filled mattresses. There was a bathroom and toilet, but no hot water. The electricity was working, but only a single bare bulb lit the bedroom, with another in both the hall outside and the bathroom. Wearily, they stumbled to the dining tent, where they were served a tepid stew of something passing as meat, potatoes and bread, followed by rice pudding and tea. Then they were told to return to their accommodation. The Abrahams family lay down on their mattresses and tried to sleep, though this proved difficult with the rain hammering down outside and Deborah developing a rasping cough. This went on for several days and her illness slowly grew worse as the damp conditions, dreadful accommodation and lousy food gradually took their toll on her health. Esther even heard some of the older men saying that conditions were even worse than in the German concentration camps where they'd been briefly imprisoned after Kristallnacht. The soldiers couldn't have cared less, or that's the impression they gave, although it was obvious that they'd be happier elsewhere, doing some actual fighting instead of wet nursing a crowd of harmless aliens. What added to the vile atmosphere at the housing estate was that, unlike at Butlin's, there were plenty of non-Jewish Germans and Austrians amongst the internees. Most of these were harmless, but some started to insult the Jews. A small group of them told Esther that Hitler would soon wrap the war up and then get down to the business of getting rid of all Jews as he promised. The non-Nazi, non-Jewish Germans were much more amenable, but their association with the Jewish internees soon made them a target of the unofficial Gestapo. One in particular started to receive almost hourly threats. He was a blonde German sailor who palled up with Jonathan Herbert and helped him to organise more football. He was told if he didn't stop associating with Jews, he'd suffer. Peter, who had rejoined Jonathan's activities, came to the flat one afternoon and reported that four Nazis had attacked the blonde sailor. But Jonathan had stepped in and the two of them had beaten up the Nazis so badly they were now on their way to hospital in an ambulance. It was a moment of light relief for Esther, but it didn't help her get over her concern for her mother's health. She was not the only one suffering. Others were also ill. As it became wetter and colder, an air of helplessness hung over the estate, which Michael found out was called Heighten. Some kind of relief was at hand when they were told to prepare to leave the next morning. But Esther had become increasingly worried about an elderly Jewish couple who carried a look of utter misery on their faces all day long. "We were persecuted in Poland, then expelled by the government sent to Germany," the old man told her. "The same thing happened there. I was beaten up by the brown shirts on Kristallnacht, and now the same thing is happening in England. I'm not sure we can stand much more. We're leaving tomorrow. Where we're going can't be as bad as this place, and so many people have told me that we will be home before very long." The man gave Esther a weak smile. "Thank you, dear. We'll try to hang on." But his and his wife's faces were covered in despair. Despite Esther's efforts, it was too late for them, and they hanged themselves in the night rather than face more discomfort, indifference, and hate. Esther watched her parents' reaction with fear as they listened to the terrible news the next day. What would the future bring for all of them? She wondered.